भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो 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 भगवते वासुदेवाय
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यास ततो जयामुदीरये नाष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतेरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी
So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 1st chapter, text 21.
Kanya Kubje Dvijaha Kaschit Dasi Patihi Ajamilaha नामना नष्ट सत् आचारः दास्यः संसर्गदूषितः कन्यकुब्जे द्विजः कश्चित् दासीपतिरजामिलः नाम्ना नष्ट सदाचारो दास्यः संसर्गदूषितः कन्यकुब्जे द्विजः कश्चित् दासीपतिरजामिलः नाम्ना नष्ट सदाचारो दास्यः संसर्गदूषितः कन्यकुब्जे द्विजः कश्चित् दासीपतिरजामिलः नाम्ना नष्ट सदाचारो दास्यः संसर्गदूषितः कन्यकुब्जे द्विजः कश्चित् दासीपतिरजामिलः नाम्ना नष्ट सदाचारो दास्यः संसर्गदूषितः कन्यकुब्जे इन् द सिटि आफ् कन्यकुब्ज Kanauj, a town near Kanpur. Dvijaha Brahmana. Kaschid Sam. Dasi Patihi. The husband of a low-class woman or prostitute. Ajamilaha. Namna by name Nashta Sadachara, who lost all Brahminical qualities. Dasyaha, of the prostitute or maid servant. Samsarga Dushitaha,
Contaminated by the association. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. In the city known as Kanyakubja, there was a brahmana named Ajamil who married a prostitute maid servant and lost all his brahminical qualities because of the association of that low-class woman. Purport. The fault of illicit connection with women is that it makes one lose all brahminical qualities. In India, there is still a class of servants called Shudras, whose maidservant wives are called Shudranis. Sometimes, people who are very lusty establish relationships with such maidservants and sweeping women, since in the higher statuses of society, they cannot indulge in the habit of woman hunting, which is strictly prohibited by social convention. Ajamil, a qualified Brahmana youth, lost all his brahminical qualities because of his association with a prostitute. But he was ultimately saved because he had begun the process of bhakti yoga. Therefore, in the previous verse, Shukadev Goswami spoke of the person who has only once surrendered himself at the lotus feet of the Lord, Manaha Krishna Padara Vindayoho, or has just begun the bhakti yoga process. Bhakti yoga begins with Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, hearing and chanting of Lord Vishnu's names, as in the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chanting is the beginning of Bhakti Yoga. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declares, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nashtyeva, Nashtyeva, Nashtyeva Gatiranyatha. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. The process of chanting the holy name of the Lord is always superbly effective. But it is especially effective in this age of Kali. Its practical effectiveness will now be explained by Shukadev Goswami through the history of Ajamil, who was freed from the hands of the Yamadutas simply because of chanting the holy name of Narayan. Parikshit Maharaj's original question was how to be freed from falling down into hell or into the hands of the Yamadutas. In reply, Shukadev Goswami is citing this old historical example to convince Parikshit Maharaj of the potency of Bhakti Yoga, which begins simply with the chanting of the Lord's name. All the great authorities of Bhakti Yoga recommend the devotional process beginning with the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. Tannama Grahana Dibhi. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Scha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutare Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi
Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Vulayati Girim Yat Kripa Atamaham Vandit Shri Guru Nirudharinam. In the city known as Kanyakubja, there was a brahmana named Ajamil who married a prostitute maidservant and lost all his brahminical qualities because of the association of that low-class woman. It's a wonderful purport by Srila Prabhupada. Before beginning, I would like to very humbly beg for the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas that I can say something that is beneficial for my own self and hopefully useful to all of you. In particular, I'd like to request for the blessings of His Holiness Bhakti Dear Damodar Maharaj, His Grace Rohini Sita Prabhu, and all other senior Vaishnavas who are present here today. Thank you. So, in the beginning of the purport, Srila Prabhupada is speaking about the what makes one lose all brahminical qualities, and it is the fault of illicit connection with women. And Srila Prabhupada explains in detail what that is. He says that sometimes people who are very lusty establish relationships with such maid servants and sweeping women and prostitutes. So, among the conditioned souls in this world, there is not one conditioned soul who can claim to be free from lust. The question is of how to deal with it in the proper way. There's the dharmic way and there's the adharmic way. What is being described here is the adharmic way. Ajamil became implicated in an adharmic means of dealing with lust. See, the lust is love. It is the same thing, but two sides of the same coin. Kama and prema. Lust is the perverted manifestation, it's the perverted reflection of love of Godhead. And love of Godhead is inherent within every single living entity. But when it's perverted, it takes the form of lust. And that's why lust is so powerful, because actually love is the most powerful force in the entire creation. Krishna prema is such a powerful thing that it brings Krishna under the control of the devotee. It brings God under the control of His servant. That is how powerful love of Godhead is. So, if you look at the perverted manifestation of that same thing, it's still going to be just as powerful, but not powerful in a positive way, powerful in a destructive way. Ajamil was a brahmana and he also practiced devotional service from very early on in his life. And the idea of devotional service, in particular the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, is to transform lust back into love. Now, this is a process that takes time. It's not something that happens overnight. Anybody who's been practicing devotional service seriously for some time can attest to the fact that yes, you know, the way we think has changed, the way you know, our desires are changing, but it didn't happen, you know, we're not there yet. In fact, we're still very, very far from the goal. So how do you deal with that? We should always remember that there is only one thing which is going to be able to transform lust back into love. It is the chanting of the holy names. It's nothing else. But as this is going on, it's not something that happens immediately. It takes time. Otherwise, Srila Rupa Goswami would not say, Utsaha Nishaya Dhairyat. Enthusiasm, confidence and patience. The reason why Rupa Goswami is saying patience is because it takes time. So while we are in the process, while one is practicing devotional service and is trying to get purified of lust, and we're seeing that the result is not coming immediately, it's taking time. So how do we deal with the situation? So one way of dealing with it is the brahmachari or sannyas ashram. Another way of dealing with it is the grihastha ashram. And this is dharmic. This is the dharmic way of controlling lust that has not yet been transformed. There's a balance, right? Say, if you look at the 100% lust that is within our consciousness, if we're starting to transform it, maybe 20% has been transformed and 80% is still remaining to be transformed. How do you deal with that? Because if you don't know how to deal with it properly, it will become an impediment in sadhana bhakti. So how to deal with it properly? What the remaining still needs to be transformed, and it's taking time, and that's why we are told to be patient. How does one deal with that? So the way to deal with that is varnashram. You know, according to, you know, how one feels best situated, they choose a particular ashram. Ashram means shelter. Shelter from what? Shelter from, you know, obstacles in progress in sadhana bhakti. So what Srila Prabhupada has described here in the purport is the adharmic way. It's the wrong way of dealing with lust, which is, you know, the association with prostitutes. So Ajamil, he became victim to that. But the dharmic way of doing it is by following the Grihastha ashram, putting Krishna in the center of one's household life, and going on with one's duties. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitaya Ki, Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki, Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundar Ki. So that's as far as coping with it. Varnashram will never ever purify the living entity of lust. It's a material arrangement. The only thing that will purify the living entity of lust is devotional service. So what is varnashram in the end? It's a coping mechanism. It's a way to cope with our conditioning while we're engaging in devotional service and while we're trying to attain the goal of our devotional service. It's a coping mechanism. Sometimes we make the mistake of thinking that varnashram is going to solve my problem of wanting to be the enjoyer in this world. No, it's devotional service. We use varnashram so that we can be in the best possible situation to practice devotional service, where the mind is most peaceful and it makes it easier for us to concentrate. Because if we're unable to focus the mind, it becomes difficult to get the result of sadhana bhakti. Focus is required. So there are certain conditions that make it more difficult to focus and other conditions that make it easier. So varnashram offers the option. You pick whichever situation is more conducive for you to be peaceful and focused. And once you've picked that, with the guidance of the spiritual master and your spiritual authorities, once you've picked that situation, then you're in a position to then practice sadhana bhakti effectively and get the result in a sustainable, progressive manner, and go back to Godhead at the end of one's lifetime. So that's the idea of varnashram. Now, the rest of the purport is discussing the actual process by which transformation happens. The actual process by which lust is transformed into love. And that is, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this is the most important thing we're doing, in particular in the age of Kali, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport. So it's important for us to understand how to do it properly. It's not just that chanting in any old way is going to bring the result we desire. We need to learn how to master the practice. We need to perfect the art of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So knowledge about the Hare Krishna mantra is very much necessary for us to be able to improve our practice. So the nature of the holy name is something very very important to understand. What is the tattva of the holy name? What is the nature of the holy name? In Harinam Chintamani, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks Srila Haridas Thakur, please speak about the holy name. You're the Namacharya. Please speak about the glories of the holy name. And Haridas Thakur, out of his humility, says, I don't know anything. I don't want to speak. You know everything already. I don't want to say anything. But Mahaprabhu is persistent. He says, no. You speak. I want to hear from your mouth about the glories of the holy name. You're the Namacharya. So Haridas Thakur, he begins to speak, and one of the first things he says about the holy name, as he begins to list the qualities of the holy name, he says, the holy name is Abhinatva Naminamino, non-different from Krishna. But he's listing all these qualities, and one of the qualities, he says, It possesses, the holy name possesses all the 64 qualities that Krishna possesses, non-different. And then he says the holy name is conscious. And on, when I read that, that one single word, conscious, it shook me very deeply, it shook me up. On the day that I read it, I realized when we're chanting japa, the holy name is conscious, meaning living. Living person. Who? Krishna. Who is Hare? Srimati Radharani. Who is Krishna? Krishna. Who is Rama? Krishna. So, when we're chanting japa, Radha and Krishna are there in the room with you, because they are living, conscious beings. That's what the holy name is. It's non-different from the Lord. And the Lord is conscious, and therefore the holy name is also conscious. So when you're dealing with a conscious being, it means that this conscious being also has thoughts and feelings. You're dealing with a person, Sri Harinam Prabhu. And therefore, the way we chant the Hare Krishna mantra should be in the way we deal with a person. Our whole life, the Hare Krishna mantra is not a mechanical practice. It's not something that that robots do. The name is alive, a real living person with his own desires and feelings. And I have a relationship with this person. And therefore my entire life must be arranged in such a way that these persons, Radha and Krishna, that this Hare and Krishna are satisfied with me and are willing to be with me, in the room with me when I chant. And not just there, but throughout my entire life. So this is what actually I found very helpful in trying to develop attentive chanting, because Srila Prabhupada said, whenever we start chanting Hare Krishna, you know, it takes a while. I'm speaking from my own experience. It takes a while to start becoming attentive. We have to go through a lot of mental disturbance before we become more or less peacefully situated in our japa. But Prabhupada says, Krishna pays attention to us. So before we've become attentive, Krishna has already become attentive to us. Isn't that amazing? As soon as we start chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna is attentive to, we are inattentive. We are inattentive to Krishna, but Krishna is fully attentive to us. Prabhupada says the very first thing that happens is Krishna turns his attention to the devotee and says, yes, what do you want? And that's why the holy name is Chintamani, wish fulfilling. Krishna turns his attention to the devotee and says, yes, what do you want? And if we are unable to give our attention to Krishna at that moment, Krishna feels disappointed. He feels hurt actually, because we've called him and we're not paying attention to him. We've called him and we're ignoring him. See, we should learn to chant attentively because it's good for us, and because, you know, we won't make advancement if we don't learn to chant attentively. But the real reason why we should learn to chant attentively is not to hurt Krishna's feelings, because he already came there. He's there. He came in the room and he's asking us, what do you want? So the name is Sachidananda. That is the nature of the name. It's spiritual because it's non-different from Krishna. And actually, the name, Naam, Roop, Gun, Leela, and Dham also, are all conscious. These are simply different forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as much as He is conscious and living and interacting with us in a personal way, all of these manifestations of the Lord also interact with us in a personal way. The Bhagavatam will interact with you in a personal way if you approach the Bhagavatam like this. If you approach the Bhagavatam while praying, please reveal to me what I need to hear to make spiritual advancement. The Bhagavatam will reveal that to you. Things in the purports of Srila Prabhupada will begin to stand out in bold. You know, I like to use this joke of, you know, sometimes it's a classic joke. You give a gift to somebody and then when you open the box, there's a boxing glove that comes out and punches the person. Actually, that should be our experience when reading Srila Prabhupada's books. We should feel that there are things, statements coming out of these purports and punching us in the face and telling us, wake up, Jeev Jago. Because it's live, it's personal. the deities of the Lord, very personal. We don't experience a personal connection with Krishna because we're mechanical. If we change the way in which we practice devotional service, we will begin to feel a personal connection. So Sachidananda, that is the nature of transcendental sound. Sound, it's one of Krishna's forms is sound. Another is his actual form, and then his qualities are a form of Krishna, his pastimes are a form of Krishna, and his abode is a form of Krishna. So sound is also a form, and the holy name is Krishna himself in the form of sound. But which sound? Not material sound, spiritual sound. What's the difference between material and spiritual sound? Material sound has basically the opposite qualities of spirit. If spirit is Sachidananda, matter is the opposite. It's Asat, Achit and Nirananda. It's not alive, it's not conscious, it's dead. Huh? It's not eternal, it's temporary. You know, they used to say like this, if you're thirsty and you chant water, 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 or Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola, is it going to satisfy you? Huh? Coca-Cola sound vibration is Asat, it's temporary. Why? Because even if Coca-Cola lasts for 427,000 years, when the universal destruction will take place, Coca-Cola will be destroyed. But the holy name will never be destroyed. The holy name is eternal. Coca-Cola is not alive. It cannot satisfy your heart. It cannot interact with you. It cannot bestow mercy upon you. The holy name can. It's alive. It's conscious. Ananda, bliss. Will you feel bliss by chanting some material sound? Will you feel bliss by chanting Coca-Cola? No. You're making contact with dead matter. Will you feel bliss by making contact with the Hare Krishna mantra? Yes. Because Krishna is himself already full of bliss. As you're coming in contact with Krishna, his blissful nature will rub off. You will experience bliss by being in contact with Krishna. So that's the difference between material and spiritual sound. Now, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Nana Makari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shakti. What is the meaning of Sarva Shakti? As potent as Krishna. Sarva means full. Shakti means energy. So as powerful as Krishna is, the holy name is as powerful as Krishna is. The holy name is God. So it's a very revealing shloka. It's a very revealing verse in the Shikshashtakam. Because in the beginning, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, yes, Namna Makari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shakti. But then later on in the same verse, he's lamenting. Not that he is lamenting, he's lamenting for us because we are in that situation. Durdevam Idrisham Ihajani Nanuraga. I am unfortunate that because of my anarthas and offenses, I cannot make contact with Sarva Shakti. So, in other words, Krishna's name is as powerful as Krishna, but when we come in contact with the holy name, we do not experience fully. Our experience is not full, it's not Sarva Shakti, it's partial Shakti, some Shakti, not entirely. And that is the difference between the chanting offensively, chanting on the clearing stage, and chanting offenselessly. Namaparad, Namabhas, and Shudanam are the three stages of chanting. So what is happening is when we're chanting on the level of Namaparad or Namabhas, it's not Sarva Shakti, it's partial Shakti. Not that there is no Shakti. Shakti is always there. The Lord has come to this world to help us. Even a person who is chanting Nama Parad is making advancement, but if he continues chanting, but it's very, very slow. It's going to take a lot of time. And the experience of Krishna is very, very dim. It's very limited. It's not Sarva Shakti. So that's the difference between these levels of chanting. And there's an analogy that is used, which is the medicine and the capsule. Medicine and capsule. When you take medicine and that medicine is within the capsule, the thing that is actually benefiting you is the medicine that is inside. Not the capsule itself. The capsule is simply the container of that. So one can say, well, what exactly is the chanting of Nama Parad or Nama Bhas? What it means is we're interacting with the outer shell or the capsule, and not the medicine inside. The medicine inside is Krishna himself, who is present, like we said, even in Amaparad, he's present. But we're not accessing his presence fully
And we're interacting mainly only with the outer covering, the capsule. What is this capsule? There's a reference here from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He quotes it in his Jaiva Dharma. He quotes Srila Jagannanda Pandit's Prema Vivarta. And he says, "My dear brothers, a person cannot purely chant Hare Krishna Nam in the company of non-devotees. The sound and the syllables may be uttered, but that is not real chanting." And the word in the verse here is Nam Namakshar Bahiraya Bhate, meaning that within the dictionary, certain syllables exist. And within the Sanskrit dictionary, you're going to find the syllables Ha, Re, Krishna, and Ra, Ma. But those syllables within the dictionary, they are the capsule. They are the sounds of this world. They are not the name. They are the outer covering. So when we're chanting Namaparad or Namabhas, we're interacting with the holy name also and with the outer shell as well. But what percentage? You know, maybe we're interacting 70% with the capsule and then 30% with the actual person, the actual Nam Prabhu, who is inside these letters of the alphabet. As we make more advancement, maybe our interaction is 50-50. And when one chants Shuddha Nam, he's interacting fully with the person, the Sri Nam Prabhu, Hari Nam Prabhu, and not with a capsule at all. So that is Sarva Shakti. And there's a reference also from Srila Prabhupada's purport. Actually, he speaks about in many purports in the Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada, if you do research on sound in the Bhagavatam, you type the word sound into Bhaktivedanta Vedabase, and you look at the search results, you'll see what Srila Prabhupada says about it. And he explains, material sound, what's the difference between material and spiritual? Material sound manifests at a certain moment, at a certain time, when creation is taking place. It's explained that sound is the basis of ether. When egoism and ignorance is agitated by the sex energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the subtle element sound is manifested. And from sound come the ethereal sky and sense of hearing. It is, and in the purport, Prabhupada says, it is understood from this verse that by agitation of the element of egoism and ignorance, the first thing produced was sound, which is the subtle form of ether. So we're dealing with matter. In the process of manifesting the material world, sound is there at a specific instance. From sound comes ether or sky. From sky comes air and so on. That's different from transcendental sound. Transcendental sound is not from this world. Transcendental sound is Golokera Premadhan. It's Krishna from Goloka, descended from Goloka Vrindavan. So there's an important point made in some of Srila Prabhupada's purports. See, Krishna is not different from his name. And Krishna has a particular form. He's Shyama Sundar. He's dressed in a yellow dhoti. He has the color of a dark monsoon cloud. But our material senses cannot perceive the form of the Lord. The Lord can only be perceived by spiritual senses. The soul has its own senses, its own eyes, ears and everything, by which the soul can perceive the Lord. But the soul is unable to do that as long as it is in dormant state, conditioned, identifying with the body. So then what does the Lord do in the form of His holy name? Actually, if we think about it, the holy name is Golokera Premadhana. It's the wealth of Goloka. It's actually, the holy name is actually meant to be chanted by the eternally liberated associates of the Lord. But out of compassion, the holy name comes into this world. Out of compassion for us. And the holy name comes into this world within a capsule of these external letters of the alphabet, so that we can gain access to the holy name. And by hearing Shravanadi Shuddha Chite,
karaya udai. So to the degree we are becoming purified, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, we are perfecting the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, to that degree the soul's awakening begins to take place. When we wake up in the morning, like I have this problem myself, it's not that I jump out of bed. I go from deep sleep to, you know, to, where's my alarm clock? I want to bang this alarm clock. And then half, you know, I don't want to get out of bed, you know, another 5 minutes. And then finally snapping out of it, getting out and going to have a shower. So as the soul perfects the chanting, to the degree the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is being perfected, to that degree the soul's own nature begins to blossom. It's not like turning a light switch on. Don't ever think that, you know, becoming self-realized means you go from ignorance to just like in 1 second turning a switch on and now I know who I am. No. It's gradual. To the degree we are perfecting the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, to the degree we are becoming offenseless, to that degree we are making contact with Krishna Himself. And when we make contact with Krishna Himself, it's like the tiny spark that became distant from the big fire, and it began to lose its quality of heat and light. But as the spark comes back again in contact with a big fire, it's actual nature begins to manifest again. So Krishna is fully spiritual, Sachidananda. The holy name is Sachidananda. We are also Sachidananda. But because we've distanced ourselves from Krishna, our Sachidananda nature is covered. As we begin to approach the holy name again, without offense, our own Sachidananda nature will start to slowly becoming manifest. It will start to blossom slowly. That is the process of going from lust to love. From no longer identifying with the body and thinking that one is the enjoyer of this world, of matter. So one may then question, if I'm chanting Hare Krishna, surely I'm using my tongue and my ears. So the question may be that, does the tongue chant Hare Krishna? Is Hare Krishna experienced by the tongue? And is Hare Krishna experienced by the ears? If you think about it very deeply, no. We're using the tongue and the ear to experience the holy name. The holy name is experienced by the consciousness of the soul. See, there is our consciousness and there is Krishna's consciousness. Not Krishna consciousness. Krishna's consciousness. He is spiritual and he is conscious. He has consciousness. We are also spiritual. We're a tiny part and parcel of Krishna. And we are also conscious. We have our consciousness. Krishna's consciousness is spread where? Everywhere. Everything that exists is within Krishna's consciousness. Krishna is conscious. He is aware of everything that exists in his creation. His consciousness is spread without limit. The small, tiny, minute jiva's consciousness spreads how far? Only as far as this body goes. But Krishna, because of his kindness, he comes into this world consciously in his conscious form as the holy name and allows us to make contact with him. And we experience him by the consciousness. We understand that we are experiencing good japa or good kirtan by the transformation of our consciousness. Not that the tongue becomes blue because we are chanting the holy name. Krishna's dancing on my tongue, so my tongue becomes blue. No. The tongue and the ears are part of what? They're part of the body. The body is dead. It's dead matter. The body is dead matter. It's never alive to begin with. One devotee was saying, there's even no, death doesn't even exist. He was making this point. It's a very deep point. He was saying, death doesn't exist. And I said, Prabhuji, how is that possible? He said, look, the soul never dies, right? So death doesn't exist for the soul because the soul never dies. The soul is eternal, right? So then I said, yes, but Prabhuji, but the body dies. He said, no, the body also doesn't die because for something to die, it has to be alive, right? The body is never alive. The body is never alive. It only moves because we are inside it. It only breathes and moves and the heart pumps the blood throughout the body because we are inside it. If we exit this body, immediately this body is going to drop and then you're going to have to take it and burn it. So the body is always dead. Dead matter cannot perceive spirit. The tongue and the ears do not experience the holy name. It is us, the person inside. Through our consciousness, we make contact with the holy name. Therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, chanting must not be lip deep, because it's not experienced with the lips. Chanting must be heart deep. It must be experienced from the heart. We need to bring the holy name into our hearts. And the way to bring the Hare Krishna mantra inside our heart is by prayerful chanting, is by praying, is by being conscious, being aware that Hare Krishna means Krishna and Srimati Radharani there. And if they're in front of me, how should I pray? My dear Lord, I have made hundreds and I continue to make hundreds of thousands of offenses daily. But please do not reject me. Please help me to serve you properly. Please help me to give you the proper respect that you deserve when you come here in the room with me. I do not have a right to serve the holy name. It's out of mercy that you are here. And you have come specifically for people like me. And therefore my claim is first. I want to tell you a story. There's 5 minutes left. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because he wrote Harinam Chintamani, and many, many years ago, by the mercy of His Holiness Parthasarathi Das Goswami Maharaj, he used to keep a journal. He called it the diary of the journal of a struggling sadhaka. And in that, he wrote about something really amazing, an eyewitness account of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur chanting. So this question was put to Srila Prabhupada's godbrother, Srila Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj. Did you ever see Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur? And he said, no, I joined the Gaudiya Mission in 1926, and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had already left in 1914, so I never personally made contact with him. He said, but I have heard of an eyewitness account of somebody who's seen, who had personal darshan of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and this is what they described. the devotee asks, perhaps some other persons had contact. He says, yes, there was one Parvat Maharaj who, actually, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, toward the end of his life, he did adopt the renounced order of life. He wasn't a householder all the way till the end. For the final 2-3 years of his life, he did live in seclusion. So he says that in Godruma at Surabhi Kunj, this Parvat Maharaj, his room was right next to the room in which Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was staying. There was only a wall separating, so he could hear what Bhaktivinoda Thakur was chanting. And he said, from about 3 o'clock in the morning, Bhaktivinoda Thakur would rise and take the name of Krishna, the Maha Mantra, at the top of his voice. He would chant very loudly. Parvat Maharaj described it like this, as though calling someone from far, from a distance. If you have somebody who's very dear to you, somebody you love, and you call them, and they're far away, and you call them, how would you call upon them? If the child is playing far away, and the mother has to call the child for his meal, and he's far away, so he cannot hear, and the child, the mother loves the child, so how does the mother call? Oh, Lala! Lala! It's time for you to take your meal. Come back. With so much love in the heart, Bhaktivinoda Thakur would chant like this in the morning. He would call out to Krishna as though calling from a great distance.
With this spirit, Bhaktivinoda Thakur would chant the holy name. That Maharaj was astonished to see such behavior. There was a cement chair, and when Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur felt tired, he took his seat and rested a while. Then after some time, he would again wander in the garden, chanting at the top of his voice, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. With such animation in his voice, he was calling a person with his spirit, and not in a formal way, not in an official way, from the heart, but with a hankering. He was calling for the Lord. And then he says, there was another thing I also heard, Sridhar Maharaj is saying, there was another thing I also heard from him, about him from another source, Ram Gopal Vidyabhushan, an MA and barrister at law. Ram Gopal Vidyabhushan told me, once we went to visit him, they went to visit Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we had heard that a government officer, an educated man, had become a Vaishnava Babaji. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a very high-ranking official. So we went to see him. And someone amongst us asked him, please speak something about Krishna and Krishna Nam, the holy name of Krishna. After a moment, Bhaktivinoda Thakur then said, oh, you want to hear something about Krishna? You want? You want Krishna Nam? In this way, he continued for some time. Krishna, you are so fortunate. You have come to hear Krishna Nam. Then the consequence of that inquiry had such an influence on his body and mind that, as it is written by him personally in his own poem, that gentleman, Ram Gopal Vidyabhushan, said, I saw with my own eyes that all these symptoms were displayed in his body and mind simply upon what? Upon hearing our inquiry. Somebody is inquiring, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur went into ecstasy just hearing an inquiry about the holy name. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, you are so fortunate, you have come to hear Krishna Nam from me. Krishna, Krishna. In this way, he entered into another domain. And so many symptoms and expressions appeared in his body and mind. Convulsions, tears, all these things. I heard this from an eyewitness. This is how Bhaktivinoda Thakur would chant. Thank you very much for your time. And thank you for your attention. And please kindly bless me that I can learn to chant the Hare Krishna mantra attentively. And the bell hasn't rung yet. If you have any questions or comments, please. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Yes, Prabhuji.
Very nice. Thank you. And one thing is that even if you are chanting, you may not understand prayer for chanting. But one thing you mentioned, and to add to that, is that when you hear and hearing, and basically hearing, and Prabhupada said that hearing is with the heart, with all mind. So sound vibration enters into our ears and actually goes into our heart. Just like somebody curses us, then it feels very bad at the heart.